I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, August 9th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us now. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
David, in a few weeks, we'll pass 100,000 American troops in Afghanistan. Is this likely to be the high watermark?
I think it probably is. If you look at both the president's statement about the surge, where he announced in December he was adding another 30,000 troops, this will complete those numbers. And given the political opposition that has grown really quite remarkably in the past couple of months in his own party to the Afghan project, I suspect that this is the moment where you'll see the most troops, that it'll probably stay around this level for the next year. The question is how quickly it falls off after that.
It seems that Congress, the White House, and the military all have different timetables in their heads when it comes to the schedule for the beginning of the drawdown of troops in Afghanistan.
If you hear members of Congress, who are, of course, are facing election come this November, the Democrats would like to see a drawdown as soon as possible, tomorrow if they could so arrange it. But certainly they want to see one beginning sometime next year, after next summer, that would be fairly steep. The White House won't commit to how steep it'll be. They keep saying it's conditions-based. But they're also feeling under some pressure from the military, which signed up to the president's timetable. But if you talk to many military officers, many of them who are in Afghanistan will say, we've got the right strategy, but not enough time to execute it.
So what do you see as the upside or downside of the president's deadline to begin a withdrawal next summer?
Well, the good news about the deadline is that it puts some pressure on President Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, because unless he faces the prospect that the Americans will begin to leave, there's very little incentive for the Afghan army to train up to take over these areas and for Afghanistan to improve its ability to govern these areas. So that's the good news. The bad news is that none of that is happening at the pace at which the Obama administration had in mind. And so they could be in the position of drawing troops down next year when the Afghans are really not ready to take over power. And this is just what the Taliban are counting on. So the Taliban strategy so far has been sit and wait for the Americans to leave, because they're thinking back to 1989, 1990, and they're saying, you know what going to happen here. The Americans will get tired of this war, they'll leave, and the Taliban then believe that they may have a shot at taking over, if not the entire country, then big swaths of it again.
Let's move to some domestic news. BP is painting a pretty rosy picture in the Gulf. The relief well is almost finished. The seal on the blown-out well appears to be holding, and reports last week said that almost all the oil is gone from the Gulf waters. The question is, how much of that is public relations and how much is the truth? Surely much of the oil has soaked into the coastal wetlands.
Certainly you've seen a fair bit of the oil soaking into the coastal wetlands, but the political crisis around the Gulf oil spill is beginning to abate because obviously, as you said, fortunately that well's been turned off. Whether the environmental crisis is really abating is the matter of considerable debate. The U.S. said, somewhat to its surprise, it thinks that 75% of the oil has already either broken down because of sunlight and so forth, or been collected up. And therefore, the damage may not be anywhere nearly as severe as we feared just a few months ago. On the other hand, you don't know what's happening in those water columns of oil, and you don't know what this has done to breeding grounds for the fish and for many of the other forms of seafood that come out of this very rich fishing area. And 2 years from now, or 3 years from now, there could be debate about how much damage this actually did, and therefore how much reparations BP should be paying.
So the economic and the political will probably collide in about a year.
They will, but they may well end up colliding in court.
Finally, David, any other news you're following in Washington this week?
The big news at the end of last week was that Elena Kagan was approved by the Senate and sworn in as a justice of the Supreme Court. And I think what's remarkable is that at this moment of hyper-partisanship, this turned out to be the fight that never really came together. The opponents of Justice Kagan couldn't ever in the end actually seem to lay a glove on her. And I think that that was an interesting and somewhat surprising lesson for the country and certainly for President Obama.
And Congress comes back this week, the House of Representatives, to vote on the jobs bill.
They do. They're only going to be back briefly, and you've never seen a group, given how contested this election is, more eager to get out of Washington, D.C. The weather is another factor, I think, in their desire to get out of town.
It always is in Washington in August.
It sure is.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you.
New York Times Chief Washington Correspondent David Sanger. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.